Today is February 14th, 2013. Yesterday we left off with a question regarding the issue of the requirement of the Torah not to eat it rare, the Korban Pesach. And we left off with a question, Baruch Hashem, over the course of the last 24 hours. I merited to see an answer, which I'll share with you shortly, but I wanted to just back up a little bit because there were a couple of items that were relevant to the previous issue, which was the issue of tzli'esh, which is roasted. The requirement is that it should be tzli'esh and it should be roasted and not rare or cooked. First, we'll focus on the roasting and then we'll get to the cooked. We did mention yesterday that the fact that it was roasted was an allusion to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which mentions that Adam Rishon, before the sin in Gan Eden, he was living an existence in which the Malachim were roasting meat for him. So it was sort of symbolic of his existence there, where he didn't really have to exert himself in any which way, but he was focused solely on the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and all his material needs were taken care of by others. We mentioned the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, that I don't think we actually saw inside. I just mentioned it, the lesson of the Gemara. But maybe it's worthwhile to see the Gemara here. I brought it down here in source 16. We'll go through it quickly because we did cover it yesterday. But it's a very, very important Gemara. So again, we're on source page 16, and we're beginning with the Gemara Brachos. It's the first large paragraph that is there. Reb Chanina bar Papa Rami. Reb Chanina, the son of Papa, asked a contradiction. Again, following in the source material is not crucial. So if you're not here in person, you're listening to the recording or by Skype. Or if you prefer not to follow in the sheets, that's also fine. He asked the following. It says, V'lokachti digoni be'itay, and I will take my grain in its time. Uksiv, it also says v'asafta d'gonecha, and in Kriya Shema we say that you will have to harvest yourself. So will it be the Ribbono Shel Olam doing it, or will it be you yourself? Loi kasha kan bizman she'Yisrael eisim ritzeinu shel makom, kan bizman she'ein Yisrael eisim ritzeinu shel makom. This is at a time when Klal Yisrael is doing the will of Hashem, and this is at a time when Klal Yisrael is not. As an example, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon v'asafta d'gonecha. It says in the Torah, v'asafta d'gonecha, you will gather your own grain. Ma'atam u'leimer, l'fi shenemar v'liyom mosh sefer ha'Torah z'mipicha. Because we have a pasuk that says that the sefer Torah will never be lost from the mouths of the Jewish people. So that means it's constantly in the mouths of the Jewish people. So yachal dvarim kiksavan. I might think, again, keep in mind this is only the opinion of one of the Tanoim. But I might think that this is exactly the way it says in the Pasuk, we should never cease to be learning Torah. Talmud Leimer, v'asafta d'gonecha. No, the Torah teaches us that you should gather your own grain, which means hanag bohen min ederech eretz, which means conduct yourself in a way that is with derech eretz. Derech eretz means, we refer to it as the midas, but It means the typical common way of people. In other words, you have to engage in pursuing a living. And that's the Rebbe Shmuel, that's the opinion of Rebbe Shmuel. Rebbe Shmuel says, Epshar adam chayresh b'shas charish, is it possible that a person should plow at the time of plowing, v'zireh b'shas zriya, and sow in the time of sowing, v'kaitze b'shas ksira, harvest at the time of harvest, v'dash b'shas disha, and dash is to... English translation to thresh. Vizera b'shasa ruach, and to winnow at the time of the wind. So if he does all those things at the given times, at the times that's necessary, so teira matahelel, what will be with the teira? Ella bizman shisrael. So what are the two psukim then? What's the contradiction? Will it be you or will it be others doing it? Ella bizman shisrael. The same idea. The Torah demands of us that we should conduct ourselves in a way that we shouldn't need to be able to, that we shouldn't need to have to go out and spend a significant amount of time earning a living. When the Jewish people are doing the will of the Creator, their work will be done by others. Others will get up and graze and shepherd your sheep. But if the Jewish people are not doing the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then malachta nasis al yedei atzman. Then their work has to be done by themselves. Shenemar v'asafta degonecha. As it says, you will gather your grain. V'loy oid ela shemalechas acherim nasis al yodan. Even the work of others will be done by you. Shenemar v'avadata seivecha. You'll serve your enemies. And then here are the key words. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, Harbe osuk Rabbi Shmuel. V'olsa bi'adon. Many people did like Rabbi Shmuel, meaning they exerted themselves to earn a living, which, by the way, is the way of the world today in almost any area. Even those that are sitting and learning at Kollel sometimes have a side business, or their wife is working, or that kind of thing. So a lot of people did like Rabbi Shmuel. V'olsa bi'adon. They were successful. A lot of people tried to do it like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but it also didn't work. Okay. Now, just skipping the rest of that, skipping to the next source is the Bir Halacha that I mentioned yesterday. It's worthwhile to see it inside as well. And okay, it talks about there, it's commenting on the Chazal that says that any learning that has no work with it eventually is not successful. So he says here, Kosuva Svarim, the middle of the first line there. Kosuva Svarim, the Svarim write, Shezeu Nemar Leklal Ha'elam. This is said in general for the world. She'ein kulam yechaylem nizkais. Not everyone can merit lalois lemadrega rama, to go up to this very high level. This is very crucial. Which means to say there is such a level, and it's a genuine level, but it's only a level for the exclusive few that are able to dedicate themselves in such a way which requires utmost dedication. Liyos iskom rak batayra levada. That there should be people, that everyone, the entire generation or the entire city or whatever it might be, the entire nation, whatever it might be, will dedicate themselves to the service of Hashem, that's not going to work. Now here are the key words. Aval anashim yechidim, but specific people, yuchol lahamtzi b'chol eis b'eifen zeh. There are people who merit to be able to do this. There are people who, for instance, have received an inheritance, or there are people who place their utmost trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom, that they'll receive that which they need. But again, it's very exclusive and it's very unusual, and most people are not on this level. V'zehu shamar b'brachas, and that's what's said in brachas, the Gemara that we just quoted, that harba asuk Reb Shimon bar Yochai, that many people did it like Reb Shimon bar Yochai. V'loy also be them. They were not successful. But Ratzalaymer dafka harbe, specifically a large amount of people. But I think it's a little, it got messed up a little when it was transferred over. Okay, so. The second to last line is Ke'ein ze kosef a Rambam. Similar to this, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Shmita and V'yavleis, that the famous Rambam, that the Rambam says that while it's true that most people can't do this, but there are specific people like Shevet Levi, similar to Shevet Levi, that dedicate themselves entirely to Torah and mitzvahs. Ubefrat, adds the Chavetz Chaim, and specifically im kvar nimtzu anoshim she'reitzim lahaspik leitzrachav. If there are people that are telling him, look, you know, I see that you're capable of sitting and learning on a very high level, I'm willing to supply you with everything you need, like Yisachar Zvulun, as he mentions here, Kadesh Yasab Atayr. Bevadai lo shayach zeh. This statement of Chazal that if you learn without any work, your learning is going to end up being batal, says the Chafetz Chaim, this does not mean that it's impossible. Look at Yisachar Zvulun. What is Yisachar Zvulun? The whole partnership between Yisachar and Zvulun is that Yisachar is learning and Zvulun is supporting him. And they go 50-50. What is that all about? The answer is that there are yechidim, there are individuals that will merit to be able to live on such a level. So I came across a beautiful pshat from the Vilna Gaon. If you look in the Siddur, there's two. It's not on the source sheet, but you'll be familiar with this because it's in Kriya Shema. But maybe if you pass me a sitter, there's two parshias in Kriya Shema that speak about the work of people. The first parsha, just to quote the words accurately here, in the first parsha it says, I'll give you rain, and the asafta de ganecha, the words that we quoted before. What's that? No, in Shema.
Oh, in the Shema. Okay, right.
I'm actually quoting from the second paragraph. In the first paragraph, it says like this: V'ahavta Hashem alekecha b'chol avavecha v'chol nafshecha v'chol ma'edecha. You should serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with all your heart, with all your soul. And b'chol me'oidecha is with all your resources. Now listen to this unbelievable Vilna Gaon. Ready? It says in the first parasha of Kriya Shema, you should serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with all your resources. Yes? In the second parasha, it says, la'avdai, to serve him, b'chol avavchem, with all your hearts, plural, u'b'chol nafshechem, and all your souls. Now, it's well understood, if you look in the contrast between the two paragraphs, one is plural, is speaking to the nation as a whole, and one is speaking to the individual. That's why it says levavachem, nafshechem, in plural in the second paragraph. In the first paragraph, it's b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'edecha, singular. All right, so that's well understood that the first paragraph is speaking to the individual, and the second paragraph is speaking in plural to the nation as a whole. The fascinating thing is, though, in the first paragraph, it says you should serve Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your resources. When it comes to the second paragraph, it doesn't say the word ma'idecha, with all your resources. Well, why not? Nice observation on the part of, you knew that the Vilna Gaon was observant. So the Vilna Gaon says like this, listen to this unbelievable pshat. He says like this, he quotes this exact idea. That this Gemara that mentions that living on a level that you dedicate all your resources, everything, every spare second that you have, you use to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom, to learn Torah, to fulfill mitzvahs, that cannot be done by the multitudes. So in the second paragraph, it doesn't say the word Maideichem, because all your resources, because it's speaking to the public. When you speak in plural to many people, you can't tell them that there's a concept of living on such a level because it's not cut out for the public. It's only for the individual. So specifically in the first paragraph, speaking to the individual, there it says you have to serve Hashem not just with all your heart and your soul, but also all your resources, because there are some that have the ability to live up to that level. And in the very least, we should strive to get to that level, or in the very least, we should take some time, let's say, either a month, a week, or a day, a year, to do such a thing where you're entirely engrossed in learning, enveloped in learning, or even if it means doing 1 hour a day where you have no distractions, you turn off the cell phone, turn everything else off, no communications, you're entirely dedicated to the service of the Rebbeinu Shlom. The individual is required to live up to such a thing if they can. It exists, such a possibility. But to the nation as a whole, it doesn't exist, and therefore it doesn't say the word Maideichem in the second paragraph. So says the the Vilna Gaon. I just thought it was a beautiful proof to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is saying, when it says in the Gemara, Harbe Osuk Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that many did, like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and they didn't succeed, it means specifically a congregation, it means specifically many people. But there are individuals that are able to, and certainly if they can, it would be ideal. And examples that he gives is Yisachar and Zevulun, and that's very simple. If somebody wants to supply his brother, neighbor, whatever it might be, with all that is necessary for him to live, so that he could earn part of the merit of the Torah that is studied, then certainly that's a great thing to do, and it shouldn't be viewed as a negative thing. Okay, now, still on the topic of Tzli Eish, of roasting, about halfway down the page here on the source sheet, the 16, we have Tzli Eish. I quoted you a Medrash. The Medrash says, Tzli Eish, why did the Rebbeinu Shlalem give us the mitzvah that it should be roasted specifically? So we've given several reasons. One is it's a way of aristocracy. One is it's tasty and it's a quick way to cook, and you don't want people to be late, etc. And then we had most recently the idea of a reminder that on the threshold of going into nationhood, that we have the ability to elevate ourselves to the point of serving the Rebbeinu Shlalem in a way that all our needs could be taken care of. But here, this Medrash says. It says Shema Yisraba, Parshas Boi. It says like this: Tzli Eish. It goes through all the different requirements of the Karban Pesach and gives a reason for each one. But when it comes to Tzli Eish, I only quoted you this one. It says Tzli Eish b'shvil Avram, shehitzaltiv mikivshana Eish. I gave you this requirement so that you should remember that your origins, your humble origins. What are our humble origins? Our entire nation was in jeopardy many, many times, but especially in the beginning, when our forefather Avram was his life was at stake many times. But the main time that we know about is when he was thrown into the burning furnace, and the Rebbeinu Shlalem saved him. A person lives their life in such a way where they recognize that every second is a gift from Hashem. You speak to people who have had life-threatening illnesses or experiences. And they view life in an entirely different way, have an entirely different perspective. So Hashem is saying, before we go out as a nation, if we recognize that every second, every day is a gift, our approach will be entirely different. So he wanted us to remember that. He wanted to remind us of that. So he said, when you eat the Karban Pesach, your first mitzvah, then make sure that it's done in such a way where it's roasted, it should remind you of Avraham Avinu. One can possibly add, I'm just thinking about this now, is we know that Klal Yisrael is referred to by the Navi as Ephraim. The name Ephraim is used at times to refer to the entire nation. Haben Yakirli Ephraim. We have other places as well. And there's a Medrash, I don't recall if it's a Medrash or one of the Rishonim. It's certainly brought down in the Rishonim, the Dazakenim Balei HaTosfos. He brings down that why would we be called Ephraim? You know, we're called Jews, right? We're called Yehudim, right? So Yehuda, okay. So he was the king. He was the right, but Ephraim of all people, why Ephraim? Any suggestions? I apologize for taking a drink in the middle of the union address. Making such a big deal about the fact that one of the senators took a drink when he was on being interviewed or on camera or something. No, everybody has to drink once in a while now. Okay, so Ephraim. So one suggestion I would possibly think is Ephraim is we say Simcha Lekim Ke Ephraim Menashe. We bless our children to be like Ephraim Menashe. And one of the explanations is Ephraim and Menashe, they didn't lose a generation in greatness. They were like Reuven, Keruven, Veshimon, Yehuli. Right? Klal Yisrael, certainly in Galus, we lose our holiness. Each generation goes down a madrega, goes down a well, there was one generation that didn't lose greatness in the process of a new generation, and that was Ephraim and Manasseh. So we bless our children that they should be as great as the generation before. They shouldn't lose any. It shouldn't be further away from Har Sinai. But there's another explanation that the Rishonim bring down. I believe the source is in Chazal, is that the reason why Klal Yisrael is referred to as Ephraim is because Ephraim is also Afer in plural. What's the word Afer? Afer is ashes. Afar is dust, and Afer is ashes. So was Afer in plural is Ephraim. Ephraim is Afer in plural. Which two ashes are we referring to? One is the ash of, they're both from Avram Avinu. One is the ash of the Akedah, which Hashem viewed as if he slaughtered his own son and brought him up but the willingness to sacrifice, the self-sacrifice that he had for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the second is the Afer of the humility of Avraham Avinu, in which he expressed himself by saying, Anoichi Afar va'Afer, I am dust and ash. So these two midas, these two qualities, are the reasons why Hashem finds us to be so dear. The fact that we have self-sacrifice to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we also have humility. Le'mirubchem mikol amim. We have humility. Is a very, very important midah. So when Hashem speaks about us in a loving way, it's very appropriate that he uses the expression Ephraim, the name Ephraim, because it's referring to these two midahs, these two character traits that endear us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so perhaps if we, once we're in line with this medrash, that the medrash says that this tzli esh, this roasting, is a reminder of Avram Avinu, who was thrown into the kivshon ha'esh. He was thrown into the fire. He was willing to go in for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So perhaps we can say that that's very much in line with the concept of Ephraim, with the two ashes, that that's why we are endeared to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So here too, Hashem is saying not just a lesson to us that we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves, and not just that we should be humble, because we owe Hashem every day of our lives, because we could have been extinct had Avraham Avinu died, but also it's a way of us invoking rachamim from the Ribbono Shel Olam when we put the blood on the doorpost, etc. Well, by what merit Hashem gave us these two mitzvot? Okay, very nice, but by what merit? And the answer is these two deeply seated midas, these two character traits for which we are unique. Our nation is unique, and we're willing to follow after the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the schus that allows us to be saved. Okay, that's another thought. And then we have in the source sheet, the last piece is from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says a beautiful thing. You know, this is the last piece on page 16, on source sheet 16. Rav Hirsch, in general, his works, is especially on Chumash, but his understanding of the Chumash is an entirely different dimension. Very, very unique, very creative, and very profound. I've once heard in the name of Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, he actually mentions Rav Hirsch in his, the great Rav Baruch Ber, who's one of the great Rosh Yeshivas of the previous, pre-war Europe. He mentions Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch in one of his svarim, in one of the introductions to one of his svarim, but I've been told that he has referred to Rav Hirsch. He said about Rav Hirsch that because he spent his life, he gave away his life. He was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he wrote svarim, tshuva svarim, responsa. He wrote, he could have been engaged in that in the pursuit of higher learning his entire life, but he gave it away in order to combat the influences that were trying to drag down the Jewish people in those days, the progressive influences, and they were trying to get the Jewish people and their traditions to part ways. So he used that by way of writing his commentary on the Chumash and on other things, he used his writings as a way to combat, but he had to dedicate his life to it. So Rav Baruch Ber said about Rav Hirsch that when he wrote his commentary, because he dedicated his life in such a way where he gave away so much of his life to combat the negative influences and tremendous self-sacrifice. So in that merit, he merited to write a commentary. This is an approbation like I've never heard before. This is Rav Baruch Ber himself said it, that Rav Hirsch merited to write a commentary like a Rishain, like somebody in the era far before him. Now, that's a tremendous hamlotza. That's a tremendous approbation for him. But in any case, Rav Hirsch says, if you look through his writings about Pesach, he says there's three themes that you find throughout Mitzrayim that are very common. And the one that I want to bring out today is the one that is related to the roasting, to the Tzliyesh. He says like this. The three concepts, the three themes that you find in Mitzrayim, one is Inui. Inui is affliction. One is Avdus, servitude. You could be a servant, you could be a slave, and not be afflicted. But there's servitude, and there's affliction, and then there's Gerus, the fact that we were foreign in a foreign land. And you find throughout the story of Mitzrayim and the subsequent exodus from Mitzrayim, you find many, many times where these three themes are repeated. And says Rav Hirsch, in fact, when we have these mitzvos of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, those three mitzvos are an exact reflection of those three themes. And that's what I brought down here. He says, Matzah, that's very simple. He... Bitui oifani la'avdus. That is an expression of servitude. Why? What is the connection between matzah and slavery? We know that is lechem oini. One pshat in lechem oini is they used to give it to the slaves to eat because it's very cheap and easy to make and it lasts in the system longer so that they don't have to spend time eating. It takes away from the work. So the matzah is a symbol of the servitude. That's fine. And in the same way, it's very clear that maror is an expression of the affliction. Vayamararu eschayim, they made our lives bitter. Right? That's the inui. If you skip down to the end of the third line there, he says, Tzli Eish is a reflection. Tzli Eish is a reflection of the third expression of Gerus, which is being far in a foreign land, being a foreigner, and that's because it's Nedar Leloi Tachtis, Leloi Karka. It's hovering. When you roast, you do not put the meat on a base, right? Let's say when you cook, where is the meat? When you cook when you cook in a pot, where's the meat? It's sitting on the base in the pot. It has a bottom to the pot, right? But when you roast, what do? You take a spit, you stick it through the piece of meat, and you hang it over the fire. Or today you put it on a grill, right? But there's no base where it's not sitting on the fire. It's not sitting on the coals. You have to have it elevated, so it's not. It lacks certain. A certain foundation. Merachef, it's like hovering. It's hovering and it's stuck it's suspended by a spit. So that was again a reflection of the concept of Gerus and one of the three themes. These three themes are the three themes that we have to remember every time we eat these even till this very day. On the Seder night, we have to remember these three themes, that these are things that we went through. And here he brings down my concept that they were now The theme that I keep on repeating is the idea that we were on the threshold of a new existence and we needed all these lessons. But what he brings down here a little further in this piece is that later on, when Klal Yisrael, many, many hundreds of years later, when we were about to go into the next or into one of the subsequent exiles, so what did the Klal Yisrael say? A very fascinating thing. I actually didn't even underline this, but it's 2, 4, 6 lines up at the end of the line. They said about Yerushalayim, "He hasir." It's the last four words of the 6 lines up. "He hasir." Yerushalayim is the pot, va'anachnu habasar, and we are the meat. What exactly does that mean? So Rav Hirsch says it's exactly what we're talking about. They were saying, we're not suspended. We're not in a foreign place. We have a basis. We're connected to the land. We're not going to be expelled. We're very much have a great foundation. We're connected to our foundation. And what did the Rabbeinu Shalom answer back through the Navi? The Navi said the words, it's 2 lines below that, "He lo yisia lachem lasir." No. Yerushalayim won't be the pot for you. It won't be the basis. It won't be the foundation. Sorry, you got it all wrong. And eventually we know, subsequently we ended up and then going to Golis. But what Rav Hirsch is saying here is the roasting itself is a reflection of the concept of being without your own place, without just wandering. And that was one of the great difficulties that we encountered in Mitzrayim was the fact that not just we were enslaved and not just we were afflicted, but we were also in a foreign land. Each one of those things contribute to the detriment of the nation. And we have to remember those things. And that's why specifically the Rabbeinu Shalom told us to roast the meat so that we could remember that, because it's a reflection of that concept. Okay. Now, Bez Hashem, next time we will deal with the concept of rare. I do want to mention, I thought we would get to it today, but that I did find a very nice answer to our question, and hopefully we'll be able to share that with you, Bez Hashem, on Wednesday. Shukriyach.